So today's daf is Shabbos daf Lamed. We're going to start with daf Chav Testament Beis in the Mishnah. Okay, the last three lines of the Mishnah. Okay, so the Mishnah says Hamachabe es haner bibnei shehu misyare bibnei nachrim umibnei listim bibnei ruach ra o bishvil hachole sheyishan pater. So if someone extinguishes a flame because they're afraid of Gentiles, or because, in other words, the non-Jews may, the Persians, they had a day when the holiday where they said you can't have any fire except for ours. Or let's say because of thieves, because they're gonna see the. They're going to see the person is in the house. They might want to steal from him, or if they ruach hara'a, or some evil spirit that came upon him. I'm not an expert at that. Apparently, in the dark, it's the evil spirit may not come upon him. Again, I'm not sure the details of that, but or mipnei hachole sheyishan pater, or because of a sick person who so that he should sleep. He's Potter. The Gemara is going to discuss whether we'll see whether what type of chol are we talking about, a life-threatening illness or non-life-threatening illness. That's going to be a discussion in the Gemara. But for all these things, you are Potter because you are. Well, Gemara is going to discuss this. But if it's kechaz al hashemen, but if you extinguish the lamp because you want to save the oil, okay? I'm sorry, kechaz al aner. That you're afraid that let's say the lamp will break because of the heat, or kechas al hashemen, you're concerned that the oil will, you want to save the oil for some future purpose, or kechas al psila, or you want to save the wick so it doesn't get used up. So then you're chayev, then you would be liable if you do this unintentionally. You would have to bring a korban. Rabbi Yossi poter bechulan. Rabbi Yossi exempts you from being a korban for all of these cases. Chutz min hapsila, except for if you want to save the wick, and that's the only case which you would be liable. B'mnei who oseh pecham, because there you're turning the wick into some kind of coal, I guess. When it comes to this, you're actually fixing it, and the Gemara is going to explain all these things. So there seem to be three different categories here. From the Mishnah, one is you basically want there to be, the first category is you want there to be no light for a variety of reasons, either because of the non-Jews who want to put out the light, or the thieves, or the Ruach Ra, or you want someone to sleep. The second category is you want to save something, you want to save the oil, save the fuel. And the third category is you want to save the wick. Apparently that might be a more reason to be strict. And the Gemara is going to explain this debate here. Okay, so let's turn the page to Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, today's Daf. So now the Tanaim debate in the topic of Malacha She'eda Tzricha L'Gufa. What's a Malacha She'eda Tzricha L'Gufa? So that's a Malacha that you don't need for the thing itself. Meaning, the goal, let's say when you extinguish a flame so that the light won't bother you. You don't want, that basically you want to remove something. Now, the classic case of malacha tzricha l'gufa, classic case where malacha, you're obligated, you're liable for malacha, is that where you're doing something where you want something, you want the thing that is created. Here, you don't want anything that's created here. You simply, you're extinguishing the flame because you don't want something constructive. There's something that currently exists and you want to remove that. That's a case of malacha she'eda tzricha l'gufa. And there's a debate as to whether you are liable or not. Rabbi Yehuda says, a malacha she'eda tzricha l'gufa, Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayev, and Rabbi Shimon says you're pater. The classic case where the two debate is what's called a chofer guma ve'enu tzarech el la'afra. That let's say you dig a pit, okay, and why are you digging the pit? Because you want the dirt. The classic case of digging was they would turn over, and the Mishkan was they would turn over the soil for the purpose of Harisha, to make the soil fit for harvesting. So that's the case where that was what was done in the Mishkan, and so the debate was, well, what if you don't want it you don't want it to make the soil better, you want it for some ulterior motive, you want it for the dirt So there, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon debate that point. And similarly, if you don't want it for any constructive purpose, they also debate that point. Okay, so with that background, so let's read the Gemara now. So the Gemara asks, Midiktani Seifa, since the Seifa of the Mishnah says that if you extinguish a candle unintentionally because, and by the way, unintentionally here means you either don't realize that it's Shabbos or you don't realize that what you did was forbidden. Okay, so here we're saying where you extinguish the candle unintentionally because you want to save the lamp because you're afraid it's going to break, or you want to save the wick, that you're chayav, according to the second opinion.
Are they saying otherwise it would be chayav, you wouldn't be allowed to do it?
What do you mean? I'm sorry, let me say what your question is.
You're saying if it was unintentional, then you wouldn't be chayav.
No, we're saying, all these cases here, where when we say you're chayav, you're chayav a korban. Yeah, chayav a korban means, we're saying that you did this, and you did it unintentionally, that's why you're chayav a korban. But when we say you're potter, we would be saying that you wouldn't even be chayav a korban. You wouldn't even have to bring a korban, because what you did is not sufficient for, you know, chayav means that the act that you did, let's say if you did it intentionally, you would be liable for the death penalty if there are witnesses. And if you did it unintentionally, you would be chayav to bring a korban if it indeed meets a certain threshold. So the seifa, which says you're chayav, it means that you'd be chayav a korban chatas if you committed this sin unintentionally. As opposed to the first category, where you wouldn't even be chayav a korban, because it doesn't meet a threshold where we're going to see where you wouldn't, where you didn't violate enough. It's not the malacha. You didn't violate the malacha. In other words, when you, the ratio is when you extinguish a fire because thieves are coming. So you wouldn't be chayav even a korban for that. That's a less of a malacha, as we'll see. Okay?
Yeah.
So the seifa, which says that you're chayav, shma mina, Rabbi Yehuda. So we see that this seifa is like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that that a malacha shein etzricha l'gufa is chayav. Right? So these cases of, because you want to save the lamp or the oil, so that, and you're chayav, that's Rabbi Yehuda. But then wait a second. The reisha b'maya skidon. What's the reisha? What are we talking about in the case of the reisha? Okay, we want to know what chola, what sick person we talk about in the reisha, where we say you're potter, so that the chola could sleep. Iba chola sheish bo sakana. If we're talking about a chola who has a life-threatening illness, and he needs his sleep, and therefore you have to turn off the light, mutter mi baile. It shouldn't say that you're potter. What does potter mean? Potter means you're exempt from a korban, but it's still rabbinically forbidden. So if we're talking about a chola who's a life-threatening illness, so then the Mishnah should have said that you are, it's mutter, it's permitted, lechatchila, ideally. V'iba chola she'en bo sakana, chayav chatas mi baile. And if we're talking about a chola who is not a, there's no life-threatening illness, it's just that he is bedridden, so it should say also that you're chayav. So in other words, this is a case of malacha, the first category of cases where we say what? That if you're mechabe the ner, you extinguish the candle, let's say because of a chola, because you want him to sleep, so that should be a regular malacha she'ena tzricha lagufa, and you should be chayav for it. So in other words, why are the cases of the reisha patur and the case of the seifa chayav? In other words, there all seem to be cases of malacha she'ena tzricha lagufa, in which case they should have the same halacha. So the Gemara answers, la'ola b'chola sheish bo sakana. Really, the first set of cases, when we talk about the chola, we are talking about a chola who has a life-threatening illness. Uvedinhu delisne mutter. And really, the Mishnah should have said that it's mutter, not merely pater. But just simply for consistency, since the seifa, right, the seifa says the word chayav, the reisha says pater. But in reality, it would have been more precise to say that in the case of the chola, that this would be mutter. I guess what emerges from here, right, So then, right, and then Gemara adds Vahodetani Rav Hoshaya, and that which Rav Hoshaya learns in the Brisa, Im Bishvil HaChola Sheishan, when he says in a Brisa, he makes a similar statement. He says if you turn off the flame so that a sick person should sleep, Lo Yechabe, you shouldn't do it. Vim Kiba Pater Valaser, and if you extinguish the flame, it's Pater from a korban. You're exempt from a korban, but it's still forbidden. Hahi b'chola she'ein bo sakana. There we're talking about a chola she'ein bo sakana. The Rabbi Shimon he, and this is Rabbi Shimon who would say that you would be pater and not chayav. So I guess what emerges from here is the following: the first cases are where you're extinguishing a flame, let's say because of the non-Jews or because of the thieves. So that's that. Apparently, even according to Rabbi Huda, you would be pater, because this is even less. This is completely destructive. So this is, everyone would agree that you'd be pater for this. You wouldn't be chayev. The next category of cases would be where you're doing it because you want to save. There is some constructive purpose. You want to save the oil. You want to save the lamp. But there, it's not the same reason for what the malacha was done in the Mishkan. And therefore, you would, or it's not similar to that, and that's the debate, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon. Again, so it seems like that you have one category, which is purely destructive in nature. You simply don't want, you want to turn off the light because you don't want the non-Jews to see you. You don't want the thieves to see you. So in that case, everyone would agree that that's pater. You would not be chai of a korban if you did this because that is completely destructive. And then you have a second category, which would be a malacha, she'en etzricha lagufa, where you're doing it for a constructive purpose, but not for that which was done in the Mishkan. And there you have a debate, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. That's what it seems like on the surface. Okay.
So, Rabbi, excuse me. Besides the case of Chola,
but maybe some Rishonim, David, but some Rishonim actually would say that maybe all these cases are really cases of Mutter, and not, you'd have to say, David, that these other cases then I guess would be cases where they're Pikuach Nefesh. And then
that's
it would be Mutter.
That's what the Ritva
says. Right. So then you'd have to say maybe all these cases are cases of Pikuach Nefesh, maybe. Okay. Okay. So then we have Shal Sheila Zula Le'ela Mi Rabbi Tanchum Demin Noi. Maulachabas Butina Denur Mikame Beisha Beshabsa. So he asks, are you allowed to extinguish on Shabbos a lamp that is lit in front of a cholash yeshbo sakara, person with a life-threatening illness, so that he can sleep? So he asked this question. Before he answered Rav Tanchum on this question, he says some agadata. He gives some non-legal teaching. Pasach, so Rav Tanchum opens up his discussion of Amar, and he says, Ant Shlomo, you Shlomo, the king, azchach on chachmasecha on Such lisanusach. Where is your wisdom? Where did your wisdom go? Where did your understanding go? Lo deyecha shedvarecha sosrim divrei David avicha. It's not simple that your words contradict David hamelech el shedvarecha sosrim zed zed. But your words contradict each other. So this has nothing to do with the legal answer, but this is just a side point. David avicha amar. David avicha said. David your father said. Lo hamesimi haluka, the dead should not praise God. Va'at amard, but you said, v'shabeach ani esamesim shekvar mesu, and I will praise the deceased because they are already dead. Okay, so that they are already dead, and he said, it says in Koheles that they are already dead from the chayim, from the living, asher hem chayim, and basically according to your words, the dead are considered more chashuv than the living. He said, "I'm going to praise the dead more than the living here." So it seems that they're important. And also v'chazarta v'amarta, and you repeated and said, "Ki lekelav chai who tov mina arye hames." So this is a parable on people that the living are less because the living is like a kelav, a dog, who's less than the arye, than the than a person who is dead is considered like a lion. So he's saying in Koheles. So what he's doing here, he's pointing out that Shlomo is contradicting what David HaMelech said. What David HaMelech said in Tehillim, that lo meshi mihaluka, that the dead cannot praise God. He's saying that in Koheles, you seem to disagree with that. You're saying I praise the dead more than the living. And secondly, that the living is like a kelev, is like a dog, and the dead are like the aryeh, like the lion. So lo kasha, it's not a question. Hada kamar David lo meshi mihaluka, achli kamar. This is what it means to say. What David HaMelech says, Lo Meshi Yamaluka, means that a person should always occupy himself in Torah mitzvahs before he dies. She came in Shemesh, that once he dies, Batel Mina Torah, Batel Mina mitzvahs. He no longer can study Torah, he can no longer perform mitzvahs. Ve'la Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shevachbo. And God does not, and there's no praise, he can't praise God anymore. And this is what Rav Yochanan said, and this is what Rav Yochanan said, what does it mean when it's written, b'meisim chavshi, that with death there is free, shekevan she'adam meis adam, once a person is dead, nasa chavshi min ha-Torah mitzvos, he is free from Torah mitzvos. So even though he's saying, so that's his kavana, that a person should always occupy himself in Torah mitzvos in his life before he dies, because then he will be free from Torah mitzvos. And so Rav Tanchum then it says, Uda Ka'amar Shlomo Shabechan Yasamesim Shkvar Mesu. And when Shlomo Melch says that I will praise the dead who already are dead, so he's saying that it's fit to praise the righteous that spent their lives in Torah and mitzvos and they died more than the righteous who are living because the righteous are greater in their death more than their lives, like we find Shekeshechatu Yisrael Bamidbar. When Klai Yisrael sinned in the desert with the sin of the golden calf, Amar Moshe Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu V'Amar Kama Tefilas V'Sachnum Lefarav. Moshe Rabbeinu said in front of God many prayers and supplications, Lo Nana, and he wasn't answered. Amar, and Moshe says, Zechor Lavin to the Yisrael Vadecha. Once Moshe you try to use Chus Avos. He prayed on. He asked that they should be saved based on the merit of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, who were already dead. So then Miyad Nanes. Immediately he was answered. V'lo Yafel Amar Shlomo Shebechad Yasamish Shkvar Mesus. That's what he's saying. I praise the dead because since they already died. So in other words, there's some zechus that you have merit of the deceased. So that helps. We see here more than the living, and at the same time, that only the living can actually praise God, because only living people can praise God. Once you're dead, you can't perform Torah mitzvos. Davar acher, another explanation in the intent of Shlomo HaMelech in praising the dead. Minhago shel olam, the custom of the world. Melch basar b'dam goes gzeira sefi mekayim osa. A king of flesh and blood, he makes a decree. So it's not clear, it's not for sure that the people of the country will fulfill, you know, what he said. Sefi gein mekayim osa. Maybe they won't fulfill. Vim tim tzol lomar mekayim osa. And if they do fulfill it, b'chaya mekayim osa. Only in his lifetime they will fulfill it. But in his death they won't fulfill it. V'ilu Moshe Rabbeinu gazar kama gzeros v'tikun kama takanos v'kiyomos heim la'olam olam olamim. Moshe Rabbeinu made many decrees in his life, and he made many takanos in his life, and they last forever. V'lo yafe amar Shlomo shebechad yasabesim, and I'm not going to praise the dead, meaning Shlomo's praising the dead more than the living, that the first gzeros, what he's saying is, he's saying that when Shlomo is saying, he's praising the deceased, more than the living now, because in other words, the Rishonim were greater, because what he's saying is Moshe, who died already, his gzeros last forever, and the gzeros of those, the kings who are living alive now, won't last forever. That's what he's really comparing. He's comparing the people who are alive now to Moshe Rabbeinu, and we see the Moshe Rabbeinu's decrees are lasting forever. That's what he means in that pasuk. So now Rav Tanchum gives another explanation. Davar acher, v'shebech ani, and he says that I will praise the deceased. So his intent is like Kid Rav Yehuda Marav, like Rav Yehuda Marav, who said what? They explained the prayer of David HaMelech. Rav Yehuda Marav, Mighty Ksiv, what does it mean when it says, I say, Imi Os Latova? In Tehillim, when David says, do for me a sign for good, V'yiru Sonavi Yevoshim, and those who hate me should see it, and they should be embarrassed. Omer David Fenei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Mecholi Al Osu Ava. Forgive me for that sin of Bathsheba. So God said, Machol Lecha, it's forgiven to you. Omer Lo, David says, say imi os, make for me a sign, b'chayai, in my life, that they should see this, that you forgave me. Omer Lo, b'chayecha eini modia, I'm not going to, in your life, I'm not going to let everyone know that I've forgiven you. But I'm going to let everyone know in the life of your son. So he wanted to bring the Aaron to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Dafku Sha'arim, and the gates of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they closed, they hugged each other, they embraced each other, and he couldn't open them. Amar Shlomo, asking Vavar Renanos. So Shlomo HaMelech said 24 different types of prayer. Velo nana, but it wasn't answered. Pasach v'amar. So then he said, Su shar mashecha v'inasu pischeyolam v'yavo melech akavod. He says, let the gates, carry the gates, and they should open up, and the king who the melech akavod should enter. Radu basher lemivle. So the gates wanted to swallow Shlomo, because he considered himself Melech HaKavod. He said, V'yavo Melech HaKavod. He says, open the gate so that the king of glory should enter, and that's me. And so they didn't like this, the gates. Amru, they said, Mi'u zeh Melech HaKavod? Who is this? When you said Melech HaKavod, what does that mean? So Amr Lahu, Shlomo said, Hashem Izuz V'gibor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is strong. It's not me. So Chazar V'Amar Sushar Mashay, but they still didn't open. Chazar v'Amar Sushar Mashecha Musu Pischei Olam V'Yavo Melech HaKavod Mihu Zeh Melech HaKavod Hashem Tzvakos Hu Melech HaKavod Tzela. He says explicitly, right? He said explicitly that open your gates so that Melech HaKavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be able to enter. He said Hashem Tzvakos Hu Melech HaKavod Tzela. He says explicitly V'lo Nena, and he wasn't answered. Kevan She'Amar Hashem Elokim Alta Sheh Penei Mishichecha Zachra Lechaste David Abdecha. So then, what did Shlomo say? Hashem, don't turn your back on the Pnei Meshichecha, on your anointed one. Remember the kindness of David. So this is said in Divrei Hayamin. Miyad Nana. At that moment, the gates of the Kodesh HaKadoshim opened up. Bo'sashad, that moment, Nebchu Pnei Kol Sonei David, Kishule Kedera. At that point, once Shlomo HaMelech used the schus, the merit of David HaMelech, and it was that schus that resulted in opening up the gates of Kodesh Kedashim. So everyone saw that obviously David HaMelech was forgiven for his sin. So everyone who was challenging and hated David for what he did, so their faces turned black, like the ends of the pot that became blackened from the fire. V'yadu kolam v'chol Yisrael, and all of the people realized that Machol HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Oso Avon, the Kadosh Baruch Hu forgave them on that sin. So V'lo Yafel Amar Shlomo V'Shabeach Ani Esameshikvar Meisu. So that's what Shlomo Melech said. I praise the dead who already died. That what? The gates of the Kodesh HaKadoshim were not open because of the living, because of me, but they were only open the schus of David HaMelech. And this is what it means when it says in Malachim Aleph, after the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, B'yom HaShmini Shilach HaSa'am, on the eighth day, Shlomo Melech sent the people, V'yavarchu HaMelech, and they blessed the king, V'yachu La'aleim Smechim V'tovei Lev, and they went to their tents, happy and good-hearted, Al Kol HaTov Asher Asa Hashem, L'David Avdo L'Yisrael Amo, that Kadosh Baruch Hu did to whom? To David. V'yachu La'aleim, so they went to their tents, what does it mean, their tents? Aleim, that refers to their wives. Shematzu Neshoseh Betara, their wives were in a state of Tahara. Smechim, they were happy. Shinenu Miziv Ashkina, that they derived benefit from the countenance, the spiritual glory of the Divine Presence. V'tovei Lev, and their good-hearted. Shinisavu Neshoseh Shkolecha V'echad. The Zachar, that the women He got pregnant. They had men al kol atova shirasa Hashem le David avdo, and all the good that Hashem did to David for David his servant shemach alo al oso avam that Hashem forgave on the sin of Bathsheba Yisrael amo and Yisrael his people da'achel lohu avon the Yom Kippurim that he forgave them for the sin of eating on Yom Kippur when they during the dedication of the bayis. So they made this they during that year when they dedicated the Beis Hamikdash. So it was a 14-day celebration, and one of the days included Yom Kippur, and the people were obviously nervous that what they were nervous that maybe they were high of destruction because on Yom Kippur they were eating and drinking and they weren't observing the Yom Kippur. So a bas kol came and said that they didn't need kapara for this. But the point is, and we see that they were forgiven for the sin that David Melech was forgiven for the sin of Bathsheba. Udekamar Shlomo, and he continues, and since Shlomo said ki lekelav chai who told me na'ari hameis, when he's saying that is the living dog better than the lion who dies, right? So this statement is. It's referring to this statement that Rav said, "My dichsiv." What does it mean when it's written that David HaMelech asked from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Hodini Hashem kitzi umidas yamai mahi eda machadal ani." So when David HaMelech asked Hashem in Tehillim, "Let me know my end and the measure of my days. What is it? Let me know what's missing for me." Amar David Meir Kadosh Baruch Hu Ibono Shalola. So what's he saying? Master of the world, Hodini Hashem Kitzi. Let me know what's going to be in the future. Amar Lo Gzer Hil Mofanai Shem Adim Kitzo Shel Basav Adam. Hashem said it's a decree that we don't tell people the future, the end, and what's going to be for someone. So David now asks from Hashem, Umidas Jamai Mahi. So tell me how long we're going to live. So Hashem responded, Gzer Hil Mofanai Shem Adim Shem Adim Midas Yamam Shel Adam. I don't tell people how long people are going to live. David continued to ask, "Ve'eda machadal ani, tell me, on what day of the week will I basically stop? What day will I die?" Amar lo b'Shabbos Tammuz. So Hashem said, "On Shabbos you're going to die." So David HaMelech asked, "Amos be'echa b'Shabbos, let me die on Sunday, so that people can be involved with me and my hesbedim." Amar lo, God said, "Kivar higia malchus Shlom bincha." Sorry. The Shlomo Melech will inherit your kingdom after you die. Vein malchus nogas bechaverta filo kimlo nima. That one kingdom cannot touch the other kingdom, even one thread. In other words, you die, and he's going to reign. So he's already predestined to start reigning. So you can't overlap with him. So then, you can't die on Sunday because Shlomo is already supposed to be ruling on Shabbos. So your two reigns cannot overlap. So David HaMelech asked, "Amar Amuz be'erev Shabbos, let me die before my time." Amar lo ki tov yom chaserecha me'elaf. Says no, didn't you say yourself at the Tehillim that one day in your courtyard is better than a thousand? In other words, better to live, one extra day serving Kadosh Baruch Hu and to die the next day than to be a thousand years in a different place. So Hashem said. So there, similarly, Tov Li Yom Echad Shata Yoshev. So just like David HaMelech says, good to have one day in God's courtyard. God says back to him, it's better for me one day that you're sitting in my courtyard, Vosik B'Torah, not preparing yourself in Torah, more than Elf Olos Shalshi Shlomo Bin Chalakvi Lefanat Gavim Mizbeach. More than a thousand Olos that Shlomo's going to sacrifice on the Mizbeach in one day. So therefore, I don't want you to die one extra day, because I don't want you to be nullified from Torah. I don't want you to not study Torah even one day. So what happens? So the Gemara now tells what David HaMelech did when he heard he's going to die on Shabbos. So therefore, Kol Yom HaShabbos, every day, every Shabbos day now, from then on, Havayasi V'garis Kol Yom, he would sit and learn all day, 24 hours of all of Shabbos, so that the angel of death would not be able to get him when he's studying Torah. So on that day, at the time it was David's time to die. So the angel of death wanted to get David, but he couldn't take his soul because he was studying Torah. To love a pasuk pum megirsa, because he was studying, his mouth didn't stop learning. Amar, my ebedleg. So the angel of death said, what can I do to him? What can I do so that I can kill him? Havale bustana chore beisei. So there, David had this orchard in the back of his house. Asa malach amaves. So the angel of death went to the orchard. Salaku bochesh bi lode. He went to one of the trees and began shaking it so that it would cause a weird sound. When David and Melch heard the sound of the trees, Nafak lemichse, he went out to the orchard to see what's this weird sound. Avasalik bedarga, he would go up, he went up the ladder to the orchard. Ifches darga mituse. So what happened? The ladder broke when he went up on it, and because of that, he stopped his learning, and at that point, Nach Nafshe, he died. So after David HaMelech died, so there were two, Shlomo HaMelech had two questions. Shlomo LeBeit Midrash. So Abba, he had two questions in the Beis Midrash. The first one was, Abba Meis, Umuto Bachama. My father died, and after he went out to the orchard, now his body is laying in the sun, and I can't move it. Why? Because the corpse is Muksa, and I can't move it. So what should I do? And the second question is, Klavim shall base Abba Re'evim. The dogs in my father's house are hungry. I need to feed them. So the question is, and he was wondering, is he allowed to be involved in cutting up, meats for the dogs? And maybe because he's an Onain and he's putter from all mitzvos, so therefore he shouldn't be feeding the dogs on Shabbos. And even though they're Tsar Bali Chaim, since they belong to him, so Tsar Bali Chaim, and you're allowed to feed your animals on Shabbos, but maybe since he's an Onain, because his father just died, maybe he's putter, and he shouldn't be involved in this. So Shal Chule Chatoch Nevela Vahanach Lifnei Klavim. It says cut the meat, the non-kosher meat, leave it in front of the dogs, they should eat it. Yavicha, your father, Hanach Alav Kikar Tinok, place a kikar or a tinok, place a loaf of bread or a baby on him. It's a little weird, but those are the classic examples. The Taltalo, you're allowed to carry, the halacha is, and we're going to see that actually in about 2 weeks, that you're allowed to carry a corpse. Nowadays, right, we don't touch a corpse on Shabbos. A corpse is muksa. A non-Jew is allowed to, but a Jew is not allowed to. And that we say that if a way to get around this, if you carry two things, you carry something that's muksa, something that's not muksa. So sometimes you can carry something that's muksa with something that's not muksa. So they have a way get around by placing, let's say, a loaf of bread on the corpse. So let's say you're carrying the loaf of bread, which is not muksa, and you can carry the corpse together with the loaf of bread. So that's sort of a workaround for this. So then the Gemara says, "V'lo yafel mar Shlomo kila kelav chai, who told mina aryeh hames." So that's the line where he's saying this, that for the needs of the dogs, they permitted him to move the nevela without anything change. But the lion who died, and that was his father. They only allowed him to move it through a shinoi. In other words, he's saying kila kelev chai, the kelev who's alive, the dogs, he's able to cut meat for it directly. He didn't have to do anything different. But for his father, who was like a lion, that's better, because for that he had to do something different in a halachically. Okay, so that was making a halachic point there, in Koheles. Finally, he says ula inyan. So, remember earlier in the daf, they asked him a halacha question. And then before he answered the halacha question, he talked agadic. He's telling them agadic stuff, non-halachic stuff for almost a page, or more than a page. And now he's getting back to their question. Oh, by the way, regarding the question you asked, are you allowed to extinguish a candle on Shabbos for a chola? So the answer is, Ner kruya ner, v'nishmaso shel adam kruya ner. The soul of a person is called a ner. Mutav tichah ben ner shel basar v'dam. Mipnei Nero Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, you're allowed to extinguish a flame in order to save the neshama of the person. So the answer is yes. You're allowed to extinguish a candle in front of someone. So it's okay. So that's use this nair in order to explain that. In other words, he's saying his intent of this, by the way, is not to tell you that you're allowed to be Machal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh. That we know already. Rather, that since they want to hear a drasha, basically, they weren't asking him a real halacha question. They were asking him a halacha question, but he wanted to use this by saying that a person's neshama is like a ner. So you're allowed to extinguish a candle for a person who's like your neshama is like a ner Hashem. Because even though we really know the answer is halachically, you're allowed to extinguish a flame for someone to save someone's life. But they're really asking him, teach us, like, give me a nice vort. Give me a nice, you know, agadic, you know, teaching. So that was like a nice idea. Okay. And okay.
Yeah, Rashi is Rabbi, because this was a public gathering.
Right.
So you had women, kids, people who didn't really want to learn it. So they tried to, you know, appeal to them a little bit by telling them agadic things that would maybe they'd be more interested in hearing than just a dry
halachic thing. Right. This is and that can also explain why he gives this whole agadic, you know, story beforehand, because he's speaking, because people who came to that point weren't so, may not have been studying, you know, legal texts. They weren't so explicit, you know, they weren't so expert in legal texts at that point. Okay, so once we're talking about the drasha of Tanchum, so now the Gemara is going to speak about other psukim in Koheles that seem to contradict each other, right? One of the, anyone who studies Koheles, so they know that one of the criticisms that people that you hear about where they talk about Koheles that they have psukim that seem to contradict each other. First they say this is good and they say this is bad. And it's right here in this Gemara on our daf today that they talk about this. Amar Yehuda braid of Shmuel bar Shilas mishmei the Rab Bishacham lignos the Sefer Koheles v'nei shadvarv sofrim zelazet, that Chazal wanted to put away Sefer Koheles because their words contradict each other. Why did they not put it in? Why did they not hide the book? Why did they include it in the canon of Tanakh? Because in the end are words of Torah. Even though in the beginning there seem to be things which seem to contradict each other, the beginning and the end, the bookends of Koheles, have Divrei Torah. Tchilas of Divrei Torah, the beginning is Divrei Torah. Dichsiv. Ma Yisrael la'odem b'chol amolo shi'amol tachas Hashemesh. What good is the person which he's working, does all this work under the sun? The Omri Devei Rabbi Yadin says, what's Tachas Hashemesh mean? That if someone is involved in just the matters of the world that were created after the sun, who de ein lom, then you have no benefit. In other words, what you're doing is that's anything that you do tachas Hashemesh after the sun was created, that doesn't have such value. But kodem Hashemesh yeshto, anything that was created before the sun, and what was that? The Torah, right? Torah was created before the sun. We believe that the Torah is like a blueprint, and that was first created. And after the blueprint, the Torah was created. So then you had the world was created after that. So that's what it means. That anything that you involved in Torah, so that's forever. That's value. Sofo divrei Torah, and the end of divrei Torah, d'chsiv, sof davar kol nishma, es elkim yiravis mishvasav shemar kiza kol adam. And obviously, it says, what do you need? You need yirei Hashem and mitzvos, because this is really everything. By the way, the Marsha points out that he says that, you know, if there is stuff that contradicts each other, that nevertheless, you shouldn't just simply put it away, the book, because words seem to contradict each other, because there is actual Torah. And it is more than that, since the beginning and the end has Divrei Torah, that it's not regular Divrei Chachma, so therefore you should try to reconcile the contradictions. And that's what he's saying is, it's like you have this book, and this book has a lot of contradictions. So you might say, you know what? Since the book has a lot of contradictions, it's silly. Why should I spend my time trying to resolve the contradictions? No. Since the beginning of the end have divrei Torah, which means it's based on Torah. So what that means is that it is worthwhile to try to reconcile the contradictions, and because why? This is a book of Torah. If it's not a book of Torah, then you can simply say, yeah, this is a book of simple contradictions. Of this person says this person says that, and it's not worth it to try to reconcile. The fact that we have determined this is a book of Torah because the bookends are bookends of Torah, so therefore it's worthwhile to try to reconcile the contradictions. So now, the Gemara clarifies, what does it mean, my kizek kol adam? What does it mean that this is the kizek kol ha'adam? This is the whole world. This is all about man. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, kolam kulo lo nivra ela bishvil zeh. The whole world was created only because of this, because of fearing God and observing his mitzvahs. Another explanation of Abba Bar Kara Amar shkol zeh keneg, shakol zeh keneg kolam kulo. This, a person, is the value of the whole world. Shimon ben Azay Omer, Vamri La Shimon ben Zoma Omer, Lo Nivra Kol Olam Kula El Litzaves Lazeh. That the whole world was only created only to join with this, to fear God and to serve God. So now, now we want to clarify, my Dvar Sozim Zazeh, what are these words in Koheles that contradict each other? So on the one hand, Ksiv Tov Kas Mischok, that anger is greater than laughter. Vuksiv Lischok Amati Maholo. But in another place it says that tzchok is actually praiseworthy. So ksi v'shibachti ani esa simcha. In one place, Koala says, I praise happiness. So ksi v'simcha mazo osa. In another place it says, what's the purpose of simcha? Lo kasha, the Gemara reconciles this. It's not a question. Because when it says tov kas mischok, when it says that anger is better than laughter, what does that mean? Tov kash kois kodesh baruch al tzadikim olam hazeh. Anger, the anger that Hashem shows to the righteous in this world is good. Why? Because by giving them yisurim, suffering in this world, it gives them greater reward in the next world. And that is better, mischok shemisachek kadosh baruch hu rishayim b'olam hazeh. And that is better than the laughter, that God causes laughter for the wicked in this world. Because he gives them benefit in this world, and they'll be punished in the next world. For lischok amarti meholal. And when it says that schok is that laughter is praiseworthy, zesh schok shemesach kadosh baruch hu mitzadikim ba'olam haba. So this refers to the laughter that kadosh baruch hu gives the righteous, the joy Hashem gives the righteous in the next world. And another the answer to the second contradiction, v'shibachti ani es simcha, I praise the happiness. That's simcha shel mitzvah. That's like simchas chachnasas kala. That's the simcha of bringing a bride into marriage. And he says, what's the benefit of simcha that's not a mitzvah? So that there is no purpose. La mercha comes to teach you, shein shchina shora, lo mitoch atzus, lo mitoch atzus, lo mitoch schok, velo mitoch kalos rosh, lo mitoch sicha, velo mitoch dvar metelim, el mitoch dvar simcha shel mitzvah. What does it teach you? That the divine presence doesn't come about through sadness or through laziness or just stam. Laughter of like being a, like of levity or love levity itself or not mundane chatter and not from just stam words that are not really of value, but the Shekhinah dwells amongst us if we're involved in simcha shel mitzvah, the happiness of a mitzvah. Shenevar, as we find by Elisha, where he says vata kuchuli minagein v'hoya kinagein haminagein v'ti lav yad Hashem. When he has this music, the simcha shel mitzvah, that this resulted in hashra sashchina, in the divine presence, and he got nevuah because of that. Amar Yehuda v'chein lidvar halacha. Also, when you come to study, learn halacha, you should always begin with something b'simcha, because the Torah is something that's divine. And that should be about simcha. Amarava v'chein lachalom tov. If a person goes to sleep because of simcha, he will have good dreams. Ini, is that really true? Amarav gidol marav called tamid chacham. Sheyoshev lifnei rav v'ein sivsosav notfos mar tichvena. Is it really true that you have to start dvar halacha with simcha? But Rav Gidol Amarav says any tamid chacham that sits in front of his rebbe and his lips are not full of bitterness, they should be burnt. Shenamar Steve Silsav Shoshaim Notvos Mar Over Altikra Mor Over Ella Mar Over Valtikra Shoshaim Ella Shoshonim. So what we're saying here is what? We're saying that the Pasuk says that the lips are sharp. They need to be sharp. Okay? And that if he dripping with Mar Over. So I guess bitterness. Right? So you shouldn't be in a state of simcha when you're learning. So lo kasha, there's no question. Ha, the words of Rabbi Huda says you should start Dvar Simcha. So that is Biraba. That's what the Rebbe who's teaching should start with words of Simcha. Vaha, where it says that you have to sit with dread and fear, that's B'Talmud. The student should sit with fear. So the Rebbe should be with rejoicing and the Talmud should sit with fear. Right? What's the reason? So the Maharal writes that a student who comes to accept Torah needs to fear it, because he needs to fear it. But the Rebbe, who already has the Torah and he wants to influence others, he has to have the simcha. He has to give over the Torah in a state of simcha to others. A student who doesn't have the Torah yet, he has to have that kind of reverence, that kind of fear. And then velo kasha. So another I said no, both teaching now with talking about a rabbi who's teaching Torah. Velo kash is there's no question. Ha the liftach vaha the labaser de patach. So it depends if you're opening your teaching, and one is, and then you should start with devarim besimcha, with happiness. And after you start your opening, you warm the crowd up. Then you can start and have fear. Ki ha de rabba. This is what Rabba said. Mikame de pasalu de rabbanon amar milcha de bidichusa. This is the opening joke in the beginning of a drasha, right? The rabbi starts his sermon with a joke. That's here. That's what he says right here. That before you start teaching Torah, you start something that's misameh. You get the crowd. You warm the crowd up. You say something to make them happy in a sense, and then afterwards, lesof. Afterwards, yasi ve'ebso pasach mishmaita. Afterwards, that you sit with fear and you give over your teaching. Vav sefer mishnah. Okay, so that's with Koheles. So Koheles wasn't the only sefer they wanted to put in Geniza to hide, because there were apparent contradictions. Vav sefer mishlei bikshu lignos. They also wanted to hide sefer mishlei. So yidvar sosim zedzek, because they had. There were words that in Mishlei which contradicted each other. Why did they contradict? Why didn't they hide in the end? Why did they include Mishlei in the canon of Tanakh in the end? So they said, Sefer Koheles lo lav aininan v'ashkechinan taima. Didn't we investigate Koheles and we found that we could reconcile the contradictions? Achanami li aynan. Don't throw away Mishlei. Let's examine Sefer Mishlei, and we will resolve the contradictions as well. And the Gemara clarifies, "Umay Dvarav Sosim Zedzeh." What were the words? What were the psukim of Mishlei that contradicted each other? So, on the one hand, Ksiv, it's written, "Al Taan Ksil Ki'iv Alto." Don't respond to a fool on his foolishness. Uksiv Anexil Bivalto. And another opinion says that you should respond to a fool. Lo Kashi, it's not a question. Ha Divrei Torah, Ha B'Mil Da'alma. When a fool says foolish words of Divrei Torah, so then you need to respond. Because if you don't respond, it will seem like you agree to his opinion. Habamila de Alma. But you don't have to respond when he says just stam things, just things that are worldly matters that have nothing to do with. He just wants to start with you. He wants to start a fight with you. Let's say he wants to sit. You're sitting at the Shabbos table, and a fool starts telling you about politics. You think he's a fool. You don't have to respond to him. If he says things that are Divrei Torah, that are silly, then you have to respond to him. Then you can't make it seem like you agree with him. Like that thing where someone came before Rebbe Amarle, he said to him, Ishtecha ishti, ubanecha banai. He said, your wife is my wife, and your children are my children. Amarle says, Ritzoncha shetish tekol shel yayin. So he says, you want to drink a cup of wine? He says, so he gave him a cup of wine, shaso paka. He drank and then he died. He didn't answer his word of silliness, saying that he said, your wife is really my wife, I had relations with her, and your kids are really my kids. He didn't respond to that. Some guy said to Rav Chia, your mother is my wife, you are my son. I said, you want to drink a cup of wine? So shaso paka. The guy drank and he died. Okay. Rav Chia. Ahanya leitz lo se l'rebi. On that story, he says the prayer to lo lishav ye b'ni mamzire. So the prayer of Rebbe helped that this person's lies that he wanted to start were not accepted, because then his kids would be considered mamzerim. The Rebbe ki hava matzli amar, because after he would pray, he would add, he would say, Hiratzal fanecha Hashem Elokeinu shetzatzileinu yom mi'azei panim, u'mi'azes panim. He would daven every day of Shemoneh Esrei that the people wouldn't spread false rumors about him that would result in, you know, people thinking that he's a mamzer because this guy was spreading bad rumors. Okay, so but now we're going to clarify where we said that when it comes to Divrei Torah, you can respond to him. But Divrei Torah, where do we find that someone responded to a fool when he said Divrei Torah? He had the Yasti Ram Gamliel v'Kadarish Asida Ishta Isha Shetele B'chol Yom Shenamar Hara V'Yiles Yachta. Rabbi Gamliel made a drasha based on the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that he says a woman in the future will give birth every day. It says that she will get pregnant and give birth on the same day. And the day that she gives birth, she's already pregnant with someone else. And it will seem like that she got pregnant and gave birth the same day. So on the same day that she, in the Messianic era, in the future, in the Messianic era, a woman's going to give birth and get pregnant the same day. So legally loved also Talmud V'Amar Ein Kol Chodesh Tachas Hashem. He says that's impossible. That cannot happen. So Amalo Bo Varecha Dugmasan Bolam Hazeh. I'm going to show you an example in this world. Nafak Achvelei showed them a tarnagolas that every day it's laying eggs, and that, so we see it's possible, even though one's an animal, one's a human being, but we see it's possible within the realm of nature for it to happen. Again, whether this is will happen or not, it's a separate conversation. But we see from here that he answered someone in his foolish claims because he was challenging his Divrei Torah. V'tu Yasi, we have another story that where he was sitting, where V'tu Yasi Ram Gamliel, he was sitting. V'kadarish, and he made a drasha, asidin ilanos, that the trees in the future, Shemotzim Peres Choyom, they're going to bring forth fruit every day. Shinar, as the Pasuk Yecheskel says, V'nasa Anaf Asa Peri, and a branch will bring forth, and it'll bring forth a fruit. Ma Anaf B'Choyom, just like the branch is found every day on the tree. Afprim B'Choyom, so there'll be a tree every day. And after the day that you're going to pick a fruit off a tree, so another tree will start to sprout. League leg love also Talmud Amar Baksivin Kol Chodesh Tachas Hashemesh. A student made fun of him and he said, "There's nothing new under the sun." Amar lo, and Milo said, "Bo verecha dugmasa b'olam hazeh. I will show you an example in this world. Nafik afe late slaf. So this slaf type of tree that would, it brought forth three fruits during 3 days, and they didn't grow together. So he as a proof. Okay. So v'tu yasi v'gamliyav v'kadarish. He would also darshan the following." Asid Eretz Yisrael should totsi glue skulls. That Eretz Yisrael, by the way, he could have simply answered. You know, like, he could have simply answered, this could be in the future, but not now. So he was just trying to, like, silence the guy. But in any case, he says that Asid Eretz Yisrael should totsi glue skulls. And then the future Eretz Yisrael will bring forth round bread, loaves of bread, uchlim milas, and garments that are made from fine wool. Shenemar, he pisas bor ba'aretz. The pasuk Tehillim says that there will be pisas bar ba'aretz. Okay, that there will be these from the word pasyad, and bar is a grain. So what that means is there will be this, I guess, these very very small loaves that are wide like the palm of the hand, and also from the word pasim, ketonet pasim, and that there will be like very clean, fine wool. Okay, so legal love also Talmud V'Amar Ein Kol Chodesh Tachas Hashemesh. Nothing, you know, there'll be nothing. We haven't seen this at all. Omalei Barvecha Dugmasa B'Olam Hazeh Nafak. I've shown in this world a precedent for that. Nafak Achvei Le Kamein V'Pitriots. He showed him mushrooms and truffles that they grow one night, and they sprout one night, and they're complete. They are wide and round like these like these loaves of bread. They say they plant one night, and then they look like this, and that's how cakes will grow in the future. Va'achle milas, an example of the wool, clean wool. He showed him I guess Navra Barkora. I guess this material that's growing around the branch of a palm, that when the bark or the right the branch is very soft in the beginning, and he says this material is similar to this the wool that will grow in the future. Okay, so anyway, that is a little agadic. We a little bit of a detour we'll do today, also tomorrow, about of agadic texts in Maseches Shabbos. Okay, so that's that, everyone. All right. Got one thing, Bruce.